And I want to explain what I mean by that. We're living at the time of the Lord's return. Now, whether you're a believer or not, it's a fact that Jesus is coming. Jesus said, "This is the generation that shall not pass until they see Him coming in His glory." And I believe that with all of my heart. And we believe that He's coming, and we believe in the preparation that needs to be made. Thank you, Jesus. We can be desperate in two ways. I looked up the word desperate, and Webster defined desperate in this way, as being reckless or dangerous because of losing hope. One becomes utterly unconcerned about consequences and begins to live carelessly. Was that clear? If you don't have a vision of the Lord's coming, if it's not real in your life, then you can begin to be reckless and you can live dangerously. And so much negative has been said and given to us scripturally that we need to take it very serious that we do not fall into the category of the unbelieving. I want to say the second thing that he defines desperate as, he defines it as giving all. So we're either desperate for the things of this world, or we're desperate for God. Either we're going after, and this is no time to be going after the things of the world. The world and the things of the world are passing away right before our eyes. And we have to be living in that hope of His return. It has to be a living thing. I was reading in Psalm 63, and I want to read there of David. And I believe this is a picture of a man that's desperate for God. How many of you want to be desperate for God? We want to be desperate for you, Lord. Amen. Amen. This is a man that God said was after his own heart. How many of you want to be after the heart of God? I don't believe that was just for David. We want your heart, Lord. We want your heart for this time. Amen. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." You know, spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst is a promise, amen, that will be fulfilled. Jesus said, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled," or shall be satisfied. And may we know that only Jesus can satisfy us. Things do not satisfy. Amen? He is thirsty. He is thirsty, is seeking the Lord in this thirst. He said, "I'm thirsty to see thy power and thy glory." How many of you want to see God's power and His glory come back to His church? Amen? I can tell you, if you read the book of Acts in the early church, the church in America, especially today, is far from that. The church today is nothing more than a system. You know, you come and once a week, twice a week, ever how many times you come, and then you go and you live your life the way that you live your life. And, you know, this is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. And, you know, in the scriptures, they were daily going from house to house breaking bread. And it was an everyday thing. And it still is an everyday thing. Amen. We want to see the power, pardon me, and the glory of the Lord. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, you know, nothing in the past, amen, nothing in the past is not the God of the now. And what I'm saying, the past is past. God is the God of the now. Amen? God wants to move in our lives now as never before. I've been in this a long time. But you know something? I want to go out, in a greater fashion than I was born into this. I want God's glory in my life. I want to see His power operating in my life, and you do too. Amen. And especially, amen, in the day that we're living in, we want to go out on fire. How many of you want to be on fire when Jesus comes? Oh, yes, Lord, yes. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, thank you, Father. Let's lift up our hands in his name. Oh, Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, with joyful lips. Oh, thank you, Lord. He is the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing like spiritual joy. Amen. And spiritual joy is a product of letting Him abide in us and His words abide in us and us abiding in Him. Amen. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the midnight watches. What a wonderful thing it is, amen, that we can have this experience as David did. In the nighttime, whenever you awaken, you can say, oh, Father, I love you. Father, I praise you. I'm so glad that you're real in my life. I want you, Lord. I need you. I desperately need you. He said, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Hallelujah. My soul, he says, follows hard after thee. My soul follows hard. Can I say that? My soul is following hard after thee, Lord. All of my thoughts are towards you, Lord. All of my thoughts are towards you. And in the day that I'll see you face to face, oh God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you that we can have this experience that David, amen, is talking about. He said, your right hand upholds me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we don't want to be reckless or dangerous in our walk with God. We don't want to lose sight of that hope that we've been begotten to. I want to read in Matthew. I want to go to the book of Matthew. And, you know, these are the words of Jesus. If your Bible is red letter, Jesus is speaking. And he's speaking this, I believe, to the church today. In verse number 36, I'll begin. Excuse me. But of that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Lord or the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Lord be. Now, some say that it was 120 years building this ark. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe that Noah was saying there's coming judgment. There's coming a flood. And people didn't regard that. And you know something? The coming of the Lord is being preached. The coming of the Lord is being preached. And the Lord is saying, be ready, get ready, stay ready. Amen, because I'm coming. He said that this morning. I'm coming. And he said it's going to be the same way when he comes. People will not regard that. They will not regard that. And when he comes, it'll be too late. The warning was to be ready. There shall be two in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch, Jesus said. Watch, therefore. And that word watch means stay awake. This is no time to be asleep. This is no time, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. He said, watch. Watch, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. When he comes, if he finds you watching and ready, you're going to be blessed. Amen. You're going to go with him. But he says, we're in Matthew 24. Did I give you another one? Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. In verse number 47, Matthew 24:47. He said, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That's to the faithful and wise servant. And if that evil servant, listen, shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink, and to drink with a drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about two types of people. One that is prepared, one that is ready, one that is watching. And then the other one is the one that's living recklessly, the one that's living dangerously, and not really regarding and taking it serious about the coming of the Lord. And he is given the portion with the hypocrites, with the unbelieving. Oh, wow. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that means that that person will be lost. Now, I know this really, really tells you that we must be ready. We must be ready. When is our salvation complete? It's complete not when you accept the Lord. It's complete at his coming. How many of you know that when he comes, it's then made complete? Amen. Your salvation is like this. You were saved by grace. You're being saved by grace. You will be saved by grace. He will present us to himself as we walk in faith with him. I want to look at 1 Peter, and I want to read there in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read there. Thank you, Jesus. It says this in verse number 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If you have been born again of the Spirit of God, you have been born again to a living hope by the resurrection. We're serving a living, resurrected Jesus. And the angel, when he ascended, the angel says, why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. This same Jesus. We have been begotten to this living hope, to an inheritance, verse 4, that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you as a believer in Jesus. And get verse number 5. You are being kept by the power of God through faith. You're being kept by the grace of God through faith. You're walking in faith with him. You're being kept, amen, by that power unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Amen. And how many of you know that revelation of Jesus is right at the door? I believe we may be living in the last hour. Amen. When the midnight cry will be given, behold, the bridegroom comes. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we don't want to fall into that definition of the first definition of desperate. We don't want to live our lives in a reckless manner, in a dangerous manner. We don't want to be unconcerned about the consequences. We need to think about what it would be like not to be ready. Wow. What would it be like to be left behind? There will be those that will be left behind. There will be those that will not go with the Lord when he comes. We don't even want to think about that. But we need to think about that. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is no time to draw back. This is no time to be spiritually asleep. This is time to hunger and thirst for him. Oh, and to be desperate for him. We certainly want to be desperate in the definition that he gives of giving all. We don't want to hold anything back. Amen. You know, when you go to prayer and you bask in the love of Jesus and the presence of God, you can lay it all out there. And you can say, God, search me, try me, prove me. God, you know me. You look on my heart. And Lord, it's yours. And whatever it needs to be changed, Lord, change me. And I'll guarantee you, He will show you your heart. You pray that, He'll show you your heart. Amen. And you'll be going and something will happen and maybe you won't have the right reaction. You will say, God, that was not your heart. That is something that needs to be changed in me. Change my heart, Lord. Make me like you. I want to be desperate. Am I desperate for God? Ask myself that question. Am I really desperate for God? If I'm desperate for God, I will be giving it all. I will be surrendering it up to Him. Amen. And we don't do this in our strength. Amen. We're yielding to the Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit does His work, He does it in conjunction with our will. Amen. We yield, amen, our will to the Holy Spirit, and He can do that for us. Thank you, Jesus. Will I, by God's grace, keep the first and great commandment? We know that is to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. You say, can a person live like that? Yes, we're commanded to live like that. But you don't do that in your strength. You do that by His grace and through the power of His Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We do keep that only if we're desperate for God. Only if we're giving it all up to Him. We sing that song, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And you know, that is a good thing. Amen. If we follow through with it. Amen. On a daily basis. If I deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Him, then I can say I'm desperate for God. Amen. It's a daily walk with God. A daily denying myself. Can I deny myself? Can I deny myself? Can I deny myself what I want? Is what I want more important than the house of God? Can I deny myself? Oh, Lord, we must deny ourselves. He is worthy of nothing less. He gave everything and came to this world that He created and did what He did for you and I. And we can't do anything less than give Him everything. A question I've asked some time back, do I really believe what I believe is really real? Do I really believe what I believe is really real? Do I really believe it? Am I really desperate? Do I really need God in this manner? Do I really need Him? Above everything, do I need Him? When Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, did He really mean that? Does He require being first? Or is, you know, I would say this. Some people wouldn't have a job tomorrow morning if they treated their boss like they treat God. I don't want to say that in unkindness, but I'm telling you, God deserves first place in your life and in my life. Amen. Amen. And especially at His appearing, we want to be walking in this manner. We don't want to be playing games. And we don't want, you know, there's so much deception in the church today. One major deception is that once you're saved, you're always saved. You can never lose your salvation. And I want to tell you something that is not scriptural. We're made partakers of Christ only if we hold the profession of our faith to the very end. It's the end. He said, He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And Jesus said this, the love of many would wax cold. The love of many would wax cold because of their lawlessness. He's talking about people in the pew. He's talking about professing Christians that's in rebellion to the things of God and to the Word of God. Listen, we must give ourselves to Him completely. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, if I had one last message to preach, I would have to say, read the Bible and do what it says. Amen. Do exactly what it says. Someone said it's the basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Michael W. Smith sings the song that I love, and we sing it here sometimes, I'm desperate for you. And the words went, I'm desperate for you. And it goes like this, you are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And then the next verse, it's only really these two verses. You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. You are the air I breathe. You are my daily bread. And then it goes into, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Hallelujah. We're lost without Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God that we can be desperate for God. How many of you really want to be desperate for God? You really want that desperate, to really be desperate for God. Listen, the way we live our daily life tells us if we're desperate for God. Amen? We're to walk by faith. This is a faith walk, and that requires something of us. It requires a personal something of us. It requires a personal exertion and a personal application of the Word of God to our lives. Jesus told about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. And then He told us in Matthew 7 what the foolish were and what the wise were. The wise were those that would hear His sayings and keep them. The foolish were those that heard what He said but didn't act on it. They didn't do what He said. Thank you, Jesus. So to walk by faith, we must act upon what we believe. Amen? And you know, any so-called faith that refuses to walk in obedience to the Word and what God's Word requires. How many of you know there's a requirement in God's Word? Amen? And if we refuse that, our faith is counterfeit. We're kidding ourselves. We don't want a heart of unbelief. We want a heart that's full of faith. A heart of unbelief will cause you to depart from God, cause you to do your own thing, set your own standard, live God by your own convenience. And that's not the way that we have to live our lives. We live our lives, amen, in obedience. And our faith works by love. You know, love is what it's really all about. And Jesus said this, you love me because I first loved you. And He said, if you really love me, keep my commandments. Keep my word. So it's by love. And you know, if your love is growing cold, Jesus said one of the signs at His coming would be that the love of many would be waxing cold. Do I have that love for Him? Do I have my first love? You know, He writing to the church of Ephesus, He said, you have left your first love. Have I left my first love? Has other things become more important than my love for God? How many of you can remember your first love when you first got saved? Huh? What was your first love? You wanted to tell people. Amen? Praise God. Do we tell anyone anymore? Are we really concerned of sharing the good news with a world that needs the good news? Or are we ashamed of him before men? You know, he says if we're ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before the Father at his coming. And we don't want that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So our faith is really activated. It's energized. How many want to be driven by the love of God, your love for God? Oh, Father. It's expressed and it's working by love. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we love you. We love you. We love you. We praise you. I would like to read a prayer that Paul wrote to when he was writing to the church at Ephesus. In this prayer, I want to read out of the Amplified in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, beginning there. He prays that, he says, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves? How many of you know we must experience? It must be real. The relationship must be real. It's a love relationship. We'll experience it for ourselves. The love of Christ, which far surpasses more knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Is this possible? Yes. This is what he's wanting. This is his whole desire, is to reveal himself in us and then through us. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. He is the air we breathe. He is our daily bread. And it's all about his presence. Thank you, Jesus. He's working in us by his power. He's working in us even now. He that has begun that good work in you is performing it until the day that he comes for his church. The word says that he's going to present us to himself a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. You know, the important thing for us to do today is to look unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of your... You know what the enemy wants? He wants you to focus on your weaknesses, your failures. No, it's nothing to do about your weaknesses and your failures. It's all about his strength and his power. Amen. And his grace. Amen. Being perfected in you. Amen. That's the saving power of the Lord. He is the Savior. Amen. And our salvation is the salvation of today. Today is the day of our salvation. Now is the accepted time that we give ourselves every day to this loving Savior. Oh, thank you, Father. How many of you have been believed the truth that you have been when Christ raised from the dead, that you were risen with him? How many of you really believe that? That's the power of the cross. When he died, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he arose, you arose with him to walk in newness of life. His life. We are resurrected in Christ. That's the new creation. That's the new man. Amen? Well, do you really believe what you believe is real?
Yes, hallelujah.
You really believe it? Then I want to close with this instruction. This instruction comes in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read there. Three verses. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Hallelujah. Pretty clear, isn't it? where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Listen, we have an inheritance that's been reserved that will not pass away for us in heaven right now. And he's saying, don't live for the things on the earth. You know, the things of the earth become so important that they'll steal your time, your energy, your money. You say, well, do you just quit living? No, you're not living until you are seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It means that you're going to live for Him. It says to set your affection on things above. Set your mind, set your desires on things above, not on the things on the earth. That's pretty clear, isn't it? You know, the world just gets so taken up by things. And if we're not careful, that's why he put the world off limits to us, as he told them in the garden that they could eat of every tree but that one tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he gave us a commandment: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said that. And he said that because of the effect that it would have on our lives. He said, for if the love of the world is in you, then the love for the Father will not be there. How many of you know it is certain that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out? Is there something wrong with having things? Absolutely not. But it is wrong for things to have you. Amen. He's given us all things to enjoy. But that's not our life. Amen. Could you walk away from it today? Could you say, Lord, there it is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He said to do this. He said, for you are dead. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the things. We should be dead to the things of the world. I'm so thankful for the grace of God and the power of God that keeps us, that we're not attracted by the things of the world. We should be turned off by the things of the world. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then also shall we appear with him in glory. Amen. And then it goes to give instructions of putting and mortifying the members that are upon the earth, amen, to death. Thank you, Jesus. We live for you, Jesus. We live for you. We live in expectation of your coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't sell your birthright. Amen. You've been born to a living hope of Jesus coming. Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. You know, we won't have 5 minutes to get ready when he comes. The word says he's coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the lightning shines from the east to the west. He's coming that soon. Amen. And we want to walk in that state of readiness. God, we give you our hearts. We give you everything, Lord. Take us and rule us. And we praise you for this. Shall we pray? Father, we love you. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for what your Spirit has spoken to us today. And you've spoken through that Holy Spirit of truth, that your coming is very near, and that we are to be prepared. We are to be ready. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's all about you. You said that you would present us to yourself, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle or any such thing. And we love you for that. We love you for that. We love you for that. You said, blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, because you're coming quickly. We thank you for it, Jesus. You are everything, Lord. Our life is in you. Our life is hid with you. We thank you for that. And we praise you, Jesus, that you're coming back soon to receive us to yourself. And we bless you. And we thank you that your work, amen, is every day being carried out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord bless you in this day as you walk.